The Oxford Sparks Podcast, Episode 9, Killers, Part 3.
My name is Sina Fazal. I'm a professor of forensic psychiatry based at the University of Oxford. I'm also a Wellcome Trust Senior Research Fellow in Clinical Science and an honorary consultant forensic psychiatrist, which is just one way of saying that I do some clinical work in addition to being funded primarily by the Wellcome Trust to do research on clinically relevant matters in my area of interest, which is what's called forensic psychiatry. What that really means is understanding the causes, but also the treatments, the best treatments for mentally disordered offenders. The main area I'm interested in is the relationship between mental disorders and violence. I've branched out a little bit and looked at mental disorders and a variety of bad outcomes, including dying prematurely, violence and suicide. They're the main three areas that I look at. And as part of that, I'm also interested in studying prisoners and the health of prisoners, in particular how their mental health impacts on what happens to prisoners inside prison, but also after prison. We know that inside prison there are many problems, but also on release, prisoners suffer very high rates of death. Death from suicide, but also death from accidents, and also prisoners generally re-offend at very high rates. And one of the big questions we've been looking at is whether prisoners with mental disorders re-offend at high rates compared to other prisoners.
Sina has been working with colleagues at the Karolinska Institute in Sweden. Here, more information is available to researchers in large registers of patient data. By linking these data to other statistics, such as crime and mortality rates, the researchers have been able to build up a very accurate population model.
We've used these data to study some of these questions because they provide very large numbers. They have good quality clinical data, so these are diagnoses using standardized criteria that clinicians complete when patients are seen or discharged from inpatient assessments. And the other thing about these data is we are able also to link individuals to their family networks, so we know who parents are, who siblings are, cousins are. And one of the ways that we've utilized this is what I mentioned earlier, which is that we've compared individuals with these diagnoses with their siblings who don't have these diagnoses. And that's a way, assuming siblings have 50% shared genetic contribution and also that they share the early environment, that's a way of trying to separate out the illness from the person and their background, and to some extent their genes as well, because they share all the genes.
Traditionally, studies compare groups of patients with the general population. Sina then explained why this approach can be problematic when considering prisoners with mental disorders.
There are lots of things you don't measure for which are important that are different between the groups. For instance, their early environment, they may have had very different early environments. Patient groups we know have sometimes more adverse early environments, adverse childhood, and they're often risk factors for the mental illness. And so if you haven't measured it, you know, there's no way of adjusting for it, accounting for it. And so by using siblings, that's one way of doing it. It's a very powerful way of doing it. With the depression study, we actually then use twins as well, where so you get actually, you know, the genes are pretty much accounted for, and also the early environment as well. And so you're only really comparing differences in the symptoms. And in that particular study, we looked at symptoms of depression and compared whether the differences in symptoms were associated with these with violent outcomes, and they were. So more symptoms of depression, more chance, more risk of having this violent outcome.
This approach also proved beneficial when Sina and his colleagues studied mentally unwell prisoners who were taking medication.
Here what we've done is we've also done something which is quite novel, at least in psychiatry, where we use the same individual as their own control. So we look at when someone's on medication compared to when the same person is not on medication. We then look at the rates of these, in this case, violent outcomes when they're on medication compared to when they're not on medication. So it's the same person that exerts their own control. And that's a very powerful way, obviously, of adjusting for things that stay the same in the person. It doesn't quite work, obviously, for things that change, because if you change your medication status, other things may change, and you can't really account for that. I mean, there's different ways you can try and model it to try and look at whether that's an important effect. But it's at least one step up from just the sort of traditional way of just comparing two groups, which are different in terms of medication exposure. Challenges in prison research is that the prison itself has quite a strong influence on a range of these mental disorders and suicide risk and violence risk. It has an impact on all these areas. And so if you want to separate out the mental illness from the impact of the prison environment, that's, you need again this approach. And we've managed to look at the siblings in prison with or without mental disorders, and we've done two pieces of work. One is looking at when people are released from prison, causes of death, and also the risk of death, because we know that people who leave prison are often very high risk of deaths from a variety of outcomes, particularly accidents, but also suicide. And so there we wanted to see what contribution psychiatric disorders make. And then we've done a piece of work which has been published early September 2015, where we've done the same approach to looking at risk of reoffending. Because one of the really uncertain questions in the field has been whether mental disorders increase or decrease your risk of reoffending.
To answer this question, the researchers again compared siblings.
We find that in prisoners, it seems that drug and alcohol problems are really important determinants of these outcomes. But for reoffending, and this is relatively, I think, novel, at least when we reviewed the literature, there wasn't much out there. We do find that mental disorders also make a contribution to reoffending risk, and severe mental disorders as well. And that's very important because it means that prison healthcare is actually not just about, you know, people in prison and their right to health in prison, but it's also about on release and also about public safety and public health. So it has an impact on a range of different areas, public health, public safety being the two most important ones. And I think the third thing, I haven't really touched on this much because it's sort of work in progress, but we've completed one piece of work, hasn't been published yet, is we're trying to figure out a simple way of helping people predict these risks.
Sina hopes that his work will highlight the importance of using the right methods to answer these types of questions.
We're using very large data sets, and I think the risk with using large data sets is you can do a lot, you know, you can just generate lots of quite poor research. And the challenge is really is using the right methods and using them judiciously and trying to sort of triangulate the information using different approaches. And, you know, that may be complemented also by reviewing the literature systematically as well, and not just primary studies but also review the literature as part of that process. So there are some things that maybe transcend just the particular areas that we've been working on, the importance of using these, being very aware of using the right methods, the best quality methods to answer these questions. And we're challenged in this area. We don't have, you know, the a lot of randomized controlled trial evidence, and often it's very difficult, it's not really feasible to do randomized controlled trials for some of these outcomes. They're rare, they require very long follow-ups, they're in patient groups that will not comply and not be consented to many trials because they have lots of different problems at the same time, and also they're risky and they don't usually get included in trials. So actually using these approaches are very important to answer questions about some of the most sick patients, the most risky patients in psychiatry.
You've been listening to the Oxford Sparks podcast, narrated by me, Lou Sumner, and produced by Steve Pritchard for the University of Oxford. To find out more about the University of Oxford's fascinating science, follow us on Twitter at Oxford Sparks, via our Facebook page, or visit the website www.oxfordsparks.ox.ac.uk.